Our scripture lesson today is from Romans chapter 12, and it's verses 9 through the end of the chapter 21. So mine calls this mark of a true Christian, which is really what we're going to talk about today. Let love be genuine, hate which is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection, undo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So I kind of divided this up into two different groups. The first part of what I'm going to talk about is it's really how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to be. So one of the things I'm going to tell you, how many of you go out and eat after church? I know it's a little harder now, but go out and eat someplace after church. Show of hands, please. Okay, just so you know, churchgoers are the worst tippers in the whole entire world. And it's just, I'm not saying you personally, I'm just saying as a group. And so when you go into a restaurant, make sure that somebody knows that you're a Christian. It's okay to overtip, okay? No one will give you the money back, I promise you, okay? But that's a way that we can show the love that Christ gives us. We don't want to be, you know, measuring out the 20% or 15 or 18, whatever you think the appropriate amount is, down to the penny. It's okay to give more. So the first part of this he talks about is love. And so when I read through this, what I think the scripture is saying to me is you're not just supposed to try to love people to get them to love you back. You're not trying to break even. You're trying to love them all that you can love them, and you want it to be sincere. So I'm guessing we've all been around somebody, I call it kind of the salesman approach, that when you're around them and they act like your best friend, but you always have the feeling it's not real, it's fake. And so what the scripture is saying is you want that love that you have towards people to be a real love, to be sincere. Now, hate which is evil, which I think that's easy to do, to hate things that are evil. But the second part is to cling, and then I put in parentheses, love what is good. So a lot of times, we don't particularly hate evil, I think. We hate what evil causes. It's like the result of what somebody does that's evil. And whether that's someone we know or it's ourselves, we need to be careful that we understand that sometimes we do things that are wrong, but there's no consequence for us because it doesn't really come out. Either nobody finds out we did it, or we do it in such a way that people didn't figure it out. It's still evil. And so the scripture is saying be really against anything that's wrong. I would say wrong instead of evil, because sometimes we do things that are wrong. We go, well, that's not really bad. Anytime you say that's not really bad, it's bad, okay? When you put that really, it's not really bad, it's not really evil, then it's evil. Okay, just say, oh, that was evil, because I had to clarify what I was trying to say. And so then the second part of this love is he wants us to love like we want to be loved. I'd like to think that we all love each other as a Christian family because we have one Father God. Now, the class I'm taking this time, which I have to start doing papers this week, I'm really excited about, just so you know. There's only four of them and they're one page. It shouldn't take me more than a week. But one of the things this is talking about is theology. In the chapter I just finished reading on Friday, it was talking about how we view God. Do we view God as someone that we just kind of pull in our lives when we need something? Or do we view God as God is everything and we're just part of it? Or do we try to put God in different parts of our lives? And so that mutual love, that we love everybody. Now, I'll talk about this later. It's in the next one. One of the things it says for a Christian is we can't be seeking out like our special place. We don't want to be looking to protect our rights, our individual prestige. And what he's really saying is be humble. And sometimes it's hard to be humble. Now, I told you they had a party for me. It wasn't much of a surprise party, because when you have a birthday and people invite you someplace, you can kind of figure out what the invitation's for. But it's interesting, we were talking on the way home last night, 5-year-old Sawyer he's just interesting to be around. I mean, we've known him the longest. They lived with us for about 3 or 4 months when they moved back from New Mexico. So we're closer to him, we know him better. He's probably a little too humble. It doesn't matter what happens, even if it wasn't his fault, he'll go, "Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't your fault, Sawyer. I know, I'm sorry." And so he's sorry a lot. And so he's probably a little too humble. He's really nice. He pretty much behaves appropriately for a 5-year-old. But he isn't trying to seek a place or a place of prestige. Now, his 1-year-old brother is trying to be the center of attention 100% of the time. Part of that's because of his age. It makes it a lot easier right now to want to be around the older one, because you don't feel that need to make him feel better about himself all the time. That's us too. It doesn't matter whether we're 100 or whether we're 1. Are we that person that's always trying to be the center of attention and want everything to be about us? A real Christian isn't trying to be the center of attention all the time. And then he talks about these last two. I separated them out, but I kept thinking they really kind of went together. The one is a lack of zeal, which I would call... So I was watching Charles Stanley last Sunday, and he said he has a question. He'll ask people, "Do you believe in Christ?" And he said people will go, "Oh yeah, I know who he is," because that's not what I said. I didn't ask if you knew who he was. I asked you if you believe. And he had 4 or 5 different questions like that, and people wouldn't really answer the question. And so our question as Christians are, do we believe? And if we believe, we need to show that to people and share it. We're not supposed to keep it in ourselves. And so the second part, which I think is sort of the same thing, is the Holy Spirit allowing us to share that with everyone? Or again, are we keeping it all bunched up inside to ourselves? And so this is leading us on. So I've talked about this before. So we're supposed to serve the Lord. But maybe more important is, did we take the opportunity that we had in front of us to share or to serve? Now, I know Linda was here last week, and I've told people before, her ministry is so much different than almost any church around here that I know. Maybe Steve and I were talking, and Blood and Fire might be similar. She just has a totally different group of people that she serves. And it takes a really special person. She was not the first person chosen for that ministry. There was someone ahead of her. It didn't really work out. And Linda's probably been there 20 years or more now. I don't know if she said yet last week. But she took that opportunity, and that ministry has really grown. And it is really special. It's just beyond special. We're supposed to rejoice in hope, because no matter what's going on, hope is around us. Okay, I don't know if you guys noticed, I think Joe did it for me, changed the sign out front where he said, "Don't be afraid. No matter what's going on, don't be afraid. Jesus, the Lord, is always with us. We're never alone." I was so concerned, especially when the nursing homes weren't open at all and hospitals barely let anybody, they still barely let anybody see people, but you had so many people that were either ill or coming to the end of life, and they had to do it without any personal touch. But what I wanted people to know is that the Lord's always with you. You're not really truly alone. So we're going to have trials in our life. We know that. Not everything is going to be perfect every day. Not everything is going to be perfect every day. I just said that twice in case you didn't realize that not everything in your life is perfect every day. But again, Christ is always with us. It asks us to persevere in prayer so that if we just don't know if we can go on anymore, or we just don't know how we're going to go forward, don't try to make it being about us trying to figure out how to do it. Because you can look through a whole history of mankind and find out we're not very good at dealing with people. We're a lot better dealing with technical things. You break a computer, you can find somebody to do that. You break a person's heart, that guy at the computer store cannot help you fix that. If it's your heart broken, calling the computer store is not going to help you. We're much better with technical things than we are with human things, especially of the heart. He asked us to share with those in need. So in the bulletin day, there's ways to share with partners. I'm sure in the next week or so, once they figure out what people in the Gulf Coast region are going to need for the hurricane, that there'll be an opportunity to give to UMCOR. I don't know if anybody here's ever gone down there. There's a group from Yorktown that went. Well, Katrina was 15 years ago, but they didn't go right after Katrina. It was like a year or so after. And they were still repairing homes. And they had this huge warehouse that's just full of stuff. And a lot of it's what they call mop bucket kits to fix flooding. And I think Gary, Steve's brother, told me there must be thousands in there all the time just waiting for a flood to happen someplace that they can send them to. So we have different ways of sharing with those in need. And then we're supposed to offer hospitality. Now, sometimes hospitality means helping somebody. So I go to mow my yard on Friday. I pull the handle, it starts, except the rope is like this much longer than it used to be. And I'm going, oh, at least it started. So I mowed the whole yard without stop. It's hard to open and close gates, let me tell you, when you're holding the thing down at the same time to mow, but I needed to finish. And so I took the mower back to get it repaired, and I had the same old problem. You know, I'm pushing the mower and trying to open the door, and some guy inside just opened the door for me. That was really hospitality-wise there, because I can't hold the mower, open the door at the same time, and it's not an electric door at Highway 3. So hospitality doesn't have to be something really complicated. Sometimes it's just helping people. I think I've told you before that I don't know who designed Meyer Store. Apparently all women are 6'5" or taller because the stuff's on the top shelf they can't reach. I can't tell you how many times I pulled stuff off for people or seen ladies starting to climb up the shelves, which, just so you know, that's not safe, okay? Look around for somebody tall and ask them to help you. So we have all these opportunities to help people. Take advantage of them. And so hospitality can be offered a number of ways. It also could be money, if that's what we have. It can be time. Somebody talked about time today. I think it was Mike, talked about time, taking advantage of the time that you have to notice things. Sometimes noticing things is when people need help. So then, if you take that, here's what we're supposed to do. Well, then how does that work into like everyday life? Well, so I'm guessing we all know somebody that we think picks on us. Whether they did that when we were six in school, or whether we have somebody that we think picks on us now, and what the scripture is saying is find a way to pray for them. So Steve was talking about his friend who didn't find the Lord until he just almost died. We don't know when that person's going to find the Lord. And so pray for them. This part of the scripture that talked about rejoice with people rejoicing and weep with those weeping, that's really more to understand where they're at. So when you have somebody that's really happy and you're around them, there's no reason not to be happy with them. And if you have someone that's really sad, so you guys haven't met Benita yet, but some of you know, she was a trust officer. So that meant when someone died, she was taking care of their estates. So a lot of times we went to funeral homes because it was someone that she was going to be taking care of, or the family of someone that she was going to be taking care of. So for her, it was a customer. I always told her it was a customer call. And she could talk to people, and I can't do that. So when people really start having funerals that people can go to again, and if I'm there, I don't know what to say to people. But the one thing I've learned is I can say, I'm sorry for your loss. Because sometimes I think we get all bound up and go, gosh, I don't know what the right thing to say is, and I don't want to say the wrong thing. Just tell them you're sorry for their loss. And that's really what that scripture is saying. If we're really Christian, we understand when people are happy, but we also understand when they're suffering loss. Now, this one's kind of interesting. It says, live in harmony with one another. We all know somebody that we don't really live in harmony with, okay? And so the whole idea, and I'll talk about it again later, is that some people are a lot easier to live with than others. But find whatever common ground you can. So this one I think is interesting in the world we live in now. I put avoid pride. Try not to do things what I would call the internet world wants. So I don't Facebook, sorry. But Benita does, because she wants to see pictures of the grandkids all the time. And I don't know why the girls do this, but they show where they're at all the time. They were in Hawaii one time saying, oh, we're in Hawaii. I texted her and said, just put a sign on your front door that says, we're gone, please break in, okay? And so people do that, and I don't know if they just don't think about it or what the deal is there, but you know, are you just doing it to share that you're having a good time, or are you trying to show how much better you are than the person? I don't know where you're at when you put this stuff on, but just be careful that you're not doing it to just be prideful, that you're really just doing it to share that kind of rejoicing part we talked about before. So this one on senior conduct, you guys get to see me pretty much at my best up here every Sunday. If you would talk to the wife or kids, they've seen me not at my best sometimes when they did something that made dad or grandpa not happy. We all do that to some degree. So how big of a Christian you are is what people see at your worst spot. Okay? When we're at our best, it's easier to show who we truly are. The question is, when you're by yourself, what do you really show God individually? And so I would tell you to take a look at how you behave, whether you're alone or where people can see you. Now, I talked about this one a little bit. It talked about live in peace, and I put some are a lot easier than others to live in peace with. No husbands and wives can look at each other and shake their heads or go, I've seen that before, where I'll talk about something like this and the wife will turn and look at the husband, or the husband will turn and look at the wife. So don't anybody look at anybody's turning to look at their spouse. But sometimes we're easier or harder to be with, okay? Sometimes we have friends that we really love, but sometimes you just want to smack them because they're hard to be with. And so the question is, live in peace with those, but you need to remember that some are a lot harder to live with than others. So again, we were coming back from the birthday party yesterday, and I told Benita, I said, Sophia is the two-year-old. And I said, you know, I know I have to try a lot harder than her. She's harder to be around. And she said, well, she's like a combination of the two worst things and the two girls. She's needy like her mom, and she's snotty like her aunt. And so it's hard to be around someone who wants you but only wants you to be around doing exactly what they want you to do, exactly the way they want you to do it. And she's two, so you know, you're trying to think, well, she'll grow out of it, although I would say her mom and her aunt only grew out of it to some degree. But they'll grow out of it, but we all are around people that are they're just hard sometimes, or they're hard all the time, doesn't mean that we don't love them. What Steve was saying today, even though Ron, who passed away, maybe didn't feel as good about his brother, I would say that the brother probably always felt pretty good about Ron or he wouldn't have been close to him at the end and still be willing to share the way he was. I think that was a really good example of that. Some people are harder, easier. Doesn't mean we give up on them. It doesn't mean that we don't love them. We just need to acknowledge that some are going to be harder than others to be around. And then, I'm pretty sure it's the last part, on the vengeance, it's really not up to us to get even with somebody for something they did. And sometimes we're trying to get even for something that we think they did or we thought they did and we're wrong. Sometimes we were right. People really mistreated us. It's not up to us to do that. I'm not saying it's hard to forgive. It is hard to forgive people. Let me say it that way. But what we're asked to do as Christian is reply with kindness. And remember that when I said, well, what I did was kind of wrong, it was wrong. That trying to get even with somebody for something they did, that's wrong. I mean, there's nothing there about being a Christian that says you're supposed to get even. So what people always will say to me when I talk about this kind of stuff is, well, it says right in the Bible to strike the person with, turn your cheek so they can strike you. Anita, can you come here for a minute? I'm going to use you as an example. So if you've never thought about that scripture, in the Middle East, if you're going to smack someone in the face, you're supposed to smack them with your right hand like that, okay? If she turns her cheek the other way, so you turn that way, so the only way now I can strike her is with the back of my hand. In the Middle East, that is very wrong to hit somebody with the back of your hand. If you can't hit them with the front of your hand, then you're just not supposed to be doing it. That's really, thank you. Thank you for being in. That's really what that scripture is about. It's that if you would never strike somebody with the back of your hand. What Jesus is really saying is turn the other cheek. And if they want to hit you with the back of the hand, it's not you they're harming, it's themselves. Because for them to hit you then, they have to do it what's an inappropriate way for that part of the country. And so that whole getting even, figuring out a way to make it right, whatever that means, that just isn't going to happen. That is not what we're supposed to do as a Christian. And so what I'd like for you guys to do is to think about, do I act like a Christian when I'm at church? When I go to dinner, do I tip like Scrooge McDuck, where I'm like holding on to my last nickel? Or do I tip because God has given me so much, I want to share with everybody else? But we have these things that we do in our lives. We want to make sure that when people know that we attend Selma Christ and that we're Christian, they see it in our actions, in everything we do. Now, I know that we're not all perfect, and I already admitted to that my family can tell you stories about me, as I'm sure all your families can tell stories about you. The question is, try to become a better person each and every day. We cannot really do that on our own, but God can lead us to do that.